This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The 2013 Strata Management Act, what is it?
Okay, the Strata Management Act actually, although it's 2013, it's come into effect on June 2015. So it's actually an act to consolidate what we have before. Before the Strata Management Act is in place or in effect. So we effectively, in the 2007, we have the regime of Strata Title Act, plus another piece of act called the BCPA, which means the Building and Common Property Maintenance and Management Act, which means that it's looking at strata development per se. Just for the interest of all our listeners, so strata title as a concept or strata living as a concept is introduced in 1985 as a legislation in Peninsula Malaysia. Right? Till today, Sabah Sarawak still have not adopted such regime. So strata living or strata act or strata title as a concept is only unique to Peninsula Malaysia at this moment. And what happened is that since 1985, although it was actually in place, but was not of the most popular model at that time, simply because there's still plenty of land, people's preference of living model is still those of landed houses and not on condominiums and whatnot. Those condominiums are at that time being perceived as for the lower class or lower middle class kind of dwelling.
Even though it's called condominiums with facilities.
Correct. At that time, because at that time, nobody actually do condominium with a lot of facilities. So the adoption of the strata regime at that time was not really high until probably about mid-90s, where the imagination start to capture most of the population in that sense, whereby the higher end also looking at this as a living style. I think if you talk about the trickling point, of course, you're looking at places like Bangsa, places like Mong Kiara, as a starting point of the high-end condominiums that actually tell people to, you know, it's also cool to stay in the high-end with all the facilities, first-class facility to share and whatnot. So they sort of bring into the popularity of a condominium. And as the city develop, especially Kuala Lumpur, then there is a lack of land bank. There's lack of space to do, so they have no choice but then to consolidate and build upward higher and higher.
I suppose the increase in crime rates around the city around that period also probably helped, because most strata titles come with built-in security, I suppose.
Yes, not just building security, it's also a lifestyle choice. I mean, let's put it this way, in olden days and whatnot, we like it to become our own, we take care of our own security. As you get in more mature and all these things in terms of concern and more sophistication, so that at the end of the day, how do we then pull it up? I always used to give a metaphor or how we're going to link this whole concept. It's like, you know, for example, last time we do practice, we're staying together, but then we do a voluntary thing, we call it
Rukun
Tetangga, correct? So everyone come out with a baton at night, so walk around the neighborhood and trying to protect. But these days, again, it's not very useful, because the people who actually participate in Rukun Tetangga could be at risk also, because we are talking about firearms, correct. You know, that kind of thing. So moving forward, then they probably think that, why don't we pool our resources and leave it to the hand of the professional security guards and whatnot, who have the right knowledge. Right. Of doing defense and rather of our imaginary knowledge of self-defense. So it's sort of the requirement of the society as you go up, and also because of the scarcity of the land. So the act is, the whole idea is very simple. Last time they have this BCPA, right, which is 2007, which is an update from the Strata Title regime, and then you still have a Strata Title Act. But the problem with the regime in 2007 is that, you know, we have this concept of JMB, Joint Management Body, and it's regulated under the BCPA. Right. And the MC, which is the Management Corporation, which is under the Strata eventually, is still under the Strata Title Act. So the attempt in 2013 is, let's make it clear, anything got to do with Strata Title is under the Strata Title Act.
Okay.
It's how we get the title. Anything got to do with management, which include with the developer management period, which include the joint management body, which also include eventually the management corporation, are all now being regulated under the Strata Management Act. So it's very easy for everyone to now see where to look for the law in relation to that. Because last time the line is not that clear.
Does the SMA replace the BCPA then?
Yes, the answer is yes, it replaced. and it also adopt part of the STA, which is Strata Title Act, right, especially the portion in the formation of the MC, Management Corporation. So now it's very clear. So you want to know about management, about strata property, then you look at Strata Management Act. And you want to know about, you know, the how we get the title, how soon can we get the title, how do we create a security out of it, anything got to do with the title, share unit allocation, blah blah, things like that, which is under the Strata Title Act.
What are the key differences? What additional bylaws were included in the SMA as opposed to the BCPA?
SMA number one is that the first effect is that it uniformed the strata management law, right? Because last time the BCPA is looking at governing the JMB only, whereas Strata Title Act governed the MC. So okay, now Strata Management Act govern both, which is the JMB and the MC at the same time. And prior to June 2015, only Strata Title Act provide bylaw, right? And it's limited to the duties of the proprietor, function of the MC, and prohibitions for the proprietor. Now, the bylaw in the Strata Management Act is more comprehensive. If you put both of these acts side by side, you'll notice that the current Strata Management Act is significantly thicker in that sense, which also include the coverage power of the MC, JMB to impose fine, whoever breaches the bylaw, the bylaw are more clearly defined, and there's a prescribed bylaw provision, which means that cutting across all strata development, this bylaw will be applicable, and there are procedures on defaulter, procedure on renovation, illegal parking, etc. One word, is more details.
Chris, earlier you talked about Sabah and Sarawak not being governed by this act. What are they governed by?
They have their own provision in that. Like, for example, in the Sabah, they have their land ordinance and whatnot. So there is no strata regime there. So okay, in that sense, even though if they do a strata regime, they are adopting the strata regime under the National Land Code, which come under the idea of subsidiary title, right, instead of a strata title proper. So it's a very different legal regime. Like I say, I'm not sure whether our listeners are aware that the reason for this is because even in terms of regulations of lawyers and law, Sabah and Sarawak have a different treatment. So mm-hmm, when we say that, you know, I'm practicing under the High Court of Malaya, I can't practice under the High Court of Borneo.
So they are not governed under the 2013 SMA in this case?
Yes, yes. What it means is that 2013 SMA to me is only effectively in Peninsula,
okay,
and Federal Territory of Labuan.
So now, when you talk about strata titles, yeah, for buildings, it's very clear when it comes to apartment buildings, high-rise condominiums. Who decides what sort of landed property comes under strata titles?
Like, for example, when anyone is making a development, for example, if you want to plan developments, strata title development, I always stress this in a lot of my public sharing and article, is to say that in order to have a strata scheme, effectively, we're talking about one title, okay, one common title for all, one strata scheme and one management. Right? So effectively, you have to, this is a very basic rule about strata living. You can't have two titles. Right. You can have individual title within a title, but the underlying title has to be one. So in a strata, it could be high rise today, which means that it's a condominium of blocks, a few blocks with a number of units under that block and the common property at the podium side. That could be one type of strata, we call it high rise. The other type of strata is what we call landed strata today. It could happen is that within a gated, guarded situation, there's one single underlying title. Within the single underlying title, there's a strata landed title. So which means that you have your clubhouse and then you have your strata landed title around the clubhouse and all within one gate with single entry and single exit, for example. That could be one. These are what we call landed strata. And of course, there's another type. It's called a mix of landed and high-rise together. So you could have your landed bungalow, landed semi-D, landed terrace, all lumped together under the same master title of two blocks of condominium and all managed under one management committee, one JMB, one developers. Yeah.
We are speaking with Chris Tan from Chur Associates on The Property Show. In a little while, we'll find out who is responsible for the management of a strata property, the developer or the owners or both. BFM 89.9. We're back on BFM 89.9's The Property Show, where we are discussing enforcement actions under the 2013 Strata Management Act, as well as who is responsible for maintaining properties with strata titles, with Chris Tan from Chur Associates helping to give us some clarity. Now, let's talk about how a property's management body is formed. We have the Management Corporation, the MC, and the Joint Management Body, the JMB. What are the differences?
Strata property need to be managed, right? So the moment that you hand over the vacant possession, it need to be managed from day one. So in terms of the management period, it definitely there's three periods into it. So we can do part one, part two, and part three. So how do we say part one, part two, and part three? Let's look at it in this way. When the strata title property is ready for vacant possession delivery, so they'll hand over the key to the owner. Yes or not? So we hand over the key owner, then the first person who's supposed to manage the whole place is the developer. So the developer will manage the place and then collect service charge and everything and maintain the whole things. And within a year, if, for example, the strata title for that place have yet to be issued, then the developer will call for a meeting for the first general meeting and form what we call the joint management body. Right. The reason the word J is there, the joint is there, is because it's jointly managed between the owners as well as the developers.
Right.
So then they form the JMB, then developer is part of the JMB. This is what we call the hand-holding part, whereby the owner will be then learn about the building and whatnot, although they are the majority, right? And then they will continue this JMB until the strata title is issued. When the strata title is issued, that's where we form the management corporation. But the first AGM will be called when 25% of the total share unit of the entire strata development is actually handed over to the owner. All right, so then they will call a first AGM of the management corporation. So then once the AGM of the first MC done, the MC will take over the management of the whole place. This is where effectively the developer is out of the picture. Okay, then there is also a latest development a few years ago in the amendment of the HDA, the Housing Development Act. If the strata is a housing development, there's also an expectation that now the key is to be delivered together with the strata title.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, there would be a very fast formation of an MC. In that case, maybe JMB is not required.
So it goes straight away to the management corporation, and the developer will no longer be in the picture as well.
Yes. So subject to, again, the 25% share unit transfer thing.
Right.
So like I said, yes, the title will be issued, then supposing the MC is open. But before the MC is formed via the AGM, forming the committee and whatnot, there's a period of time where we wait for the 25%. So who is then by default managing this place? The developers.
Right.
So just to highlight to everyone, by the way, it's still a new thing. And the first delivery with title will probably expect, if you talk about 2015 June, if 3 years officially, the fastest that you can get is 2018. So effectively at this moment we have not seen a delivery with a title yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Management Corporation is 100% owned by the owners of the particular building, which means they should take some responsibility and some personal interest in the property itself. How far can they go in enforcing their responsibilities?
Okay, let's put it this way. If you talk about MC and JMB, the only difference is composition.
Mm-hmm.
So the composition, of course, one is with the participation of the developers, being the JMB. The other one is only without the developer participation at all in terms of decision-making, managing the common property in the strata development, right? So what we're highlighting to you is that, and with the introduction of, especially on the Housing Development Act, in terms of having the key together with the title, the JMB is diminishing in their role, unless you're talking about different types of strata, which is commercial strata, maybe you talk about retail kind of strata or mixed strata, then they still have a room for JMB. Otherwise, it might not have a room anymore. But then going forward, I mean, both of them are actually the management entity in charge of the common property at a given time, at the material time. So for all intent and purpose, their role would be very much similar. All right, they have to take charge and whatnot. Of course, as an office bearer, you have a certain liability as well. So we also encourage the office bearer to know what is expected of them. All right, and you ask me what is the responsibility of this entity? For example, they will have to collect service charge lah. You know, have to collect the sinking fund in the proper manner, keep proper account. By the way, when I say the MC and JMB is in charge, doesn't mean that they manage it in themselves.
Okay.
They have the option to manage them themselves. There's no prohibition to say that they cannot manage themselves. But there is also an option for you to hire a professional property manager to manage as well. So again, then you pay their remuneration and all these things. Pay allowance, whatever expenses required. things like that. And so, the running of the general and meeting as well as the MC meeting, yeah.
So, Chris, the setting up of an MC requires accounts to be open and things like that. Does that require to be set up like a Sindirian Berhad, a company or an enterprise?
This is very interesting because a lot of people ask them, whether should I come form a society? Mm. What's the difference between the MC and the resident association?
Correct.
Should I do a resident association to do this? Well, for the information of all the listeners, when you talk about strata developments, basically it's a statutory body regulated by the Act itself. Mm-hmm. So the SMA regulate the MC, the GMB at the same time, which means that once you form the GMB, you inform the relevant ministry, they will issue you as a proper certificate to confirm that you, with your proper name, to confirm that you are incorporated on which date, and then you are a recognized entity under the Act. So okay. It's a regulated statutory body per se, rather than a company. So you don't have to form Sdn Berhad, you don't have to form resident association. You can have a resident association vis-a-vis your management corporation, vis-a-vis your JMB. Effectively, the resident association is like an opposition.
Right.
If you want to be the government, then you have to be
check and balance,
check and back in kind of thing. So the RA per se, like I said, you know, everyone is free to form, because Malaysia do have a freedom association for that purpose. You can form those, but basically it's just to do check and balance.
Now, recently there's been news that the Urban Wellbeing, Housing and Local Government Ministry, they have this year conducted 6 raids in its first ever enforcement action under the SMA. What are they raiding and why? What rights do they have to do that?
There's actually nothing new. You know why? Because the power was actually there in 2007, even under the previous act called the BCPA.
Yeah.
So which means the Commissioner of Building can actually have an enforcement right. If you look at the current SMT, the SMA regime, the Strata Management Act regime, there's actually two body that everyone can seek help from. Number one is the Strata Management Tribunal, which acting like a court. Number two is the Commission of Building, which is acting like a police,
right?
You know, in that sense. So what happened is that the Commission of Building actually have the right to raid and take away your asset and lelong it. But there is always a challenge on this one, whether it is really effective or not. Because I can only take property that's really belong to the owner, the person who actually owe the money. And then what if the electrical goods are still under some installment plan, which have not transferred the thing, or some furniture is still under some installment plan here and there. You see what I'm trying to say? So it could be challenging, but I think the idea here is that I keep telling everyone, I said, hey, 2007, the Act is already there. You wait until 2017, then we hear about an execution. First of all, I think...
So it's nothing new then?
It's nothing new, but it's also, I want to highlight a very important thing, is that the authority are exercising cautious in doing this. Because at the end of the day, you are now disturbing people staying inside. I mean, a lot of people, I always compare this with Singapore.
Right.
So a lot of people ask, then why don't Singapore have this problem? I said, Singapore, of course, know this problem. You know why? Because 80% of their houses are built under the HDB.
HDB.
Correct. So under the HDB regime, basically the government, it's a government housing, right? So they have a lot of things they can do. The simple thing is, if you don't pay a service charge, you know what I do? I lay long your unit.
Mm.
So that's the last thing you want, right? It's a very, very big power. In Malaysia, we don't have HDB. And most of housing are actually driven by private sector.
Right.
Can you imagine then they have the right to lay long the house? The answer is no, right?
No.
So it's a very, very different regime. So to enforce this, then the authority is also thinking whether, are they targeting the right target? Are they sending out the right message? I'm thinking personally, I'm interpreting as such. That's why after 10 years only you hear about it. Because I'm saying to you is that actually it's in the Act. There's always that power. Now, how come they only do the raid now? But I thought it's also true because now it's getting more matured. Because if you look at the latest figure, about 30% of the Malaysians' population are staying in high-rise, staying in strata. So what I want to highlight to you is that it's a trend. It can only grow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.